Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. Deborah, a mother of Israel. We got started in this last week in our Bible study, but I would like to finish it. In 1867 in Northern Ireland, there was a young girl named Amy that was born. At 12, she went to a boarding school in Yorkshire, England. At age 15, she heard the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So," and she gave her life to the Lord. She became interested in missions as a young girl, and at age 25, she left England, and she went to Japan as a missionary to tell people about Christ. There were some hard times there, and she had to get redirected, so she came back to England not too long after she left, but in 1895, she went to India. While in India, she became aware of Indian girls whose parents offered them as prostitutes, and this was later outlawed, but she began a ministry to them, rescuing them. She started a home and a school for rescued children in Donover in 1926. She taught them to become Christian nurses, teachers, and evangelists. Her name was Amy Carmichael. Maybe you have heard her name. She has written beautiful poetry, and God has used her in a powerful way. Turns out she never left India. She never came home. She never had a furlough. She actually came under financial stress, and she said, "Lord, do anything, Lord, that is fit for me for the work, and bless my beloveds," talking about those children. In 1931, in visiting some friends, she fell down in a dugout pit, and it caused her to be bedridden. She broke a lot of bones and became very sick. And so from 1931 until 1951, she was bedridden. And it was during those years that she wrote all of this amazing poetry, which impacted so many people who would go later on the mission field. They called her Amma in India, or Mother. We find another mother, so to speak, in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. Actually, if you look at chapter 5 of Judges, verse 7, it says, "Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel." This is where we get that phrase, Deborah, a mother of Israel. And so we know from the scripture we're to learn from these Old Testament passages. We're to learn the principles. What was happening in Judges, I tell you, it's a interesting book, but it's a repetitive book. God brings a judge to deliver the people, and then the people reject the Lord's ways. They go back to the ways of the foreign gods, the idol worship, and then God judges them. Basically, the pattern is they disobey, and then they get into bondage. The Lord delivers them into bondage, and then they end up in misery. When you don't serve the Lord, I tell you, the most miserable person in the world is the one who says they're a believer, who has given their life to Christ, but they're not walking with Jesus. That's the most miserable person on this planet. Well, Israel was doing that. They had a relationship with God, but they were walking apart from the Lord, and so they ended up disobeying. They ended up in bondage. They ended up in misery. But then God sent deliverance, and God sent rest. As a matter of fact, before Deborah, they enjoyed 80 years of rest after Ehud, okay? We talked about Ehud a little bit earlier, several weeks ago. And then what do? They compromise again. And so this time they compromise. Let's look at Judges chapter 4. Let me just read this passage to give us the background. Judges chapter 4, "When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin. Now, this guy was from up north. He was the king of Canaan who reigned in Hazor. Hazor was up in northern part of the promised land, above, around where the Sea of Galilee is up there. And so the commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hazoreth Hagoyim. Verse 3, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So for 20 years he had put them under slavery. They really were enslaved to Jabin and his kingdom. Now they had come out of slavery. God had delivered them out of Egypt and out of slavery, and yet they continued to compromise, and they would not learn the lesson that the Lord had the best for them. Let me say that again. They would not learn the lesson that the Lord had the best for them. They began to go their own way, and it caused oppression. It caused misery. I'm telling you, misery. You see, sin is fun for a season, the Bible says. But it's like a spider web. You ever watched a little bug get caught in a spider's web? The more they get in there and their legs start going, they start fighting to get out of there. They try to crawl around. Well, there's sticky stuff on that web. And the more they fuss and the more they fight to try to get out of it, the more tangled up they get in it. And then all of a sudden, here comes this spider. And that thing's trapped. Let me tell you something. You think what you're involved in is fun. And let me say this. I would be lying to you if I said sin wasn't fun. There is sin that is fun. But let me say this clearly. It is only fun for a season. Because the devil spins his web and he traps us in that sin. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Judges to Israel. Verse 4, now Deborah, a prophetess, one of only one of three prophetesses that we find in the scripture, and I've got that somewhere here. We find Miriam in Exodus 15 and Huldah in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. Three prophetesses that God used. Now, Deborah was not just a prophetess, but she was a judge. She was judging Israel at the time, verse 5. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Verse 6, then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam of Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin. So Deborah said to Barak, Barak was a general and Barak had an army, and she said, go on the top of Mount Tabor. It overlooks the valley of Megiddo. There is a river down there, and you can get a good picture. And God was saying to Barak, I will send Sisera, Jabin's general, after you. I will deploy him into the valley, the man with the 900 chariots. And then verse 7, it says this, with his army and his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. God was making a promise, I will deliver you. Verse 8, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Not sure why he insisted that she go. It may be that he knew she had a walk with God, and he wanted the presence of God. It may be that he was timid. He was a little more timid than he needed to be. He should have taken this as from the Lord and gone out and done it without necessarily her presence. But he said, if you will not go with me, I will not go. In verse 9, she said, I will surely go with you. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, real quickly, I want you to get the outline here and first of all, see a special calling. Number one, a special calling. I told you this last week. She was called the mother, a mother of Israel. Oh, listen, the impact of a mom. We mentioned this last week. I just read this week, and I wanted to share it with you. An old Spanish proverb says this, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of priest. All right? G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher, a great orator. He had four sons, and all four of his sons were preachers. And G. Campbell Morgan, man, he could exposit the Word of God. The writings that he has, amazing. But he was a great preacher, but he had four sons that were preachers as well. And so somebody asked Howard, one of the boys, his name was Howard Morgan. They said, Howard, who's the greatest preacher in your family? Thinking they'd say, my dad, G. Campbell Morgan. He looked past his dad and said, mother. Hey, listen, let me just say this, and we're going to move on. Praise God that God raised up Deborah. And let me say this, I'm thankful. You know, I tell you my story personally, how that my dad, he was a World War II veteran. Boy, I really, this weekend, man, I went out there last night to the Veterans Memorial. I didn't get to go on Friday, but I went out there and looked at the new one. They've redone the one out here off Tower Road. And Mark Sloan designed that. He was a member of our church, and he grew up at North Central. He designed that. I took Kylie, my granddaughter, out there and took her picture. And I have a great deal of respect. My dad was a World War II veteran. I'm so thankful that he was. Somehow in the scheme of it all, I don't understand it all, but my mom and dad split up when I was 6 years old. My dad moved back to North Carolina. It was just me and mom. My sister's a little older, so she had gotten married. So a lot of my growing up memories is just me and my mother. Can I tell you this? Boy, I'm thankful for my mom. Let me tell you, one sweet, tough lady. I called her from UF, having struggles in a class, and man, I was wanting sympathy. I said, Mom, man, this class is eating my lunch. And I was kind of hinting around, what do you think if I drop it? Well, you know how that is. You drop it after the fact. You lose the money. You probably get it put on your record, you know, incomplete, whatever. I'd never done that before. And I just got overwhelmed. And I was wanting sympathy. And she came back on the phone. She said, listen to me, Calvin. You stick it out in that class. Man, I was not wanting to hear that. She was one tough lady. Let me tell you something. 33 years at CSX to provide for me. I'm so thankful that I had a mom. She got me to church, I can promise you. She got me to every ball team I ever played on. She drugged me all over. She sacrificed for me. And I just want to tell everyone in here, if you've got a mom who loves God, you ought to get on your hands and knees and thank the Lord for a praying mom who loves you. And Deborah was a woman who had a passion for God, and the Lord used her to get this guy's attention, Barak. And Barak said, I'll go if you'll go. All right, number two, I want you to see this, a specific action. Barak was a military man from up north. He was affected by the Canaanite rule. He was under that bondage. And so she said, I will draw Sisera's troops down, and you will be able to attack, and you will win. And you find that in verses 12 through 15. Now, I want you to go over to chapter 5 and verse 4. Look at chapter 5. Go over to chapter 5 and verse 4. We're going to get to chapter 5 here quickly. But in verse 4 of chapter 5, it says, Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens did what? Poured water. The heavens poured and the clouds also poured water. Let me tell you what God did. He had a plan. He used Deborah. He used Barak. He said, She said, go up to the top of Mount Tabor. I'm going to bring Sisera into that valley. Well, it was dry on the top of the mountain, but in by that river Kishon, it was soft. You've been in a place that's had a lot of rain and it's soggy. Those guys had 900 chariots. Guess what chariots have trouble in? Soggy ground. And all the military people say that the strategy was to get Jabin's army down into that valley, and they couldn't move. And then all of a sudden, here comes God's men from the top of Mount Tabor, and they attacked. And they won that battle. You see it in verses 12. Go back to chapter 4, verses 12 and following. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth, Hagoam, to the river Kishon. And then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot. He jumped off his chariot. If you're a chariot rider and you jump off, you're in trouble. Okay? And he started running. He fled on foot. And so we see a specific action that took place. Sisera tried to escape in verses 11 and following. Now look at verse 17. Let's skip down to verse 17. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. So this was an ally. This was someone he could go hide in their home. And so verse 18, and Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. She gave him a blanket. Verse 19, then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. All right? So she opened a jug of milk. Some commentators say gave him yogurt. In other words, he wanted some water. She said, I'm going to fatten this boy up. I'm going to get him sleepy. And so she gave him that drink and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here, you shall say no. See, Barak was after Barak was after Sisera, and Sisera cut into this home thinking he could hide there. Verse 21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg. This gets interesting. And took a hammer and went softly to him. You can read the rest. And she drove that tent peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And then Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. And so on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. A specific action. Now here's what I get from this. God had Jael there. God had established Jael to defend and fight for God's people. Can I tell you this? In the battles you're in, you don't know all the people God has behind the scenes to protect you, to help you. Some of them have tent pegs. Not really, but I'm just saying, the Lord will protect you. You must trust the Lord that God will prepare your circumstances for your good. That's a great principle. You must trust the Lord that God will prepare your circumstances for your good. And by the way, let me say this. If God gives you a specific action, he gave Deborah, He guided her to say, let's go do this. Let's go after this situation. Can I tell you this? You ought to do it. So there's multiple applications here. As God blesses you and challenges you, you ought to do it. And then, whatever circumstances you're in, you never know. Always trust the Lord, because there's somebody behind the scenes that God is going to use in a special way. Now, the last thing is all of chapter 5. You say, oh, wow, we're going to be here all day. No, I'm going to tell you something exciting about this. Here's number 3 in your outline, a song of response. Can I tell you this? When people won victories, they often commemorated those victories with songs. Do you like to sing? Seriously. Do you like to sing? Hey, can I tell you this? When I got saved, I'd been more involved in sports and the martial arts and things like that than anything with music. I'd never been in any formal music thing at all. When I got saved, all these high school students said to me, well, listen, this afternoon we're going to choir. I said, choir? Choir? What are you talking about? They said, oh, yeah, everybody's going. And I said, will they be there? Will they be there? Will they be there? And they said, oh, yeah. And so I went. And can I tell you this? The Lord gave me a love for music. The Lord put a song in my heart. Can I tell you this? The Christian faith is a singing faith. It's the only singing faith. Amen. Why do we spend 30 minutes in here lifting up songs? Hey, it's a pattern in God's Word. We are to worship the Lord. And I'm so thankful for our team up here, Robert, Michael, Kelly, and the whole team. What they do to help us express our love and the way we can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in music. Can I tell you this? We're not the first ones to do that. All throughout the Bible, God has given songs of commemoration. Can I tell you this? All of chapter 5 is a song. Some of you say, well, I got songs in my heart. I should record them. You know what you ought to? Write them down. God uses music in a powerful way. Go back to Exodus. I want you to see this. Go back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, real quickly. I want you to see this. Exodus 15 is a place in the Bible where there was a song. Do you know that they had just been delivered through the Red Sea? You remember that story? Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and Moses said, let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. But then he had a change of heart. The Bible says the Lord hardened his heart, and he went after them. You remember that? And the Lord parted the Red Sea. At least that's the way it happened when Charlton Heston did it, but no, I'm kidding. That's in the Bible, okay? I'm sorry, I saw that movie as a kid, man. I can't help but picture it that way. But anyway, and so they went through the Red Sea on the other side, and the Bible says that the Lord turned loose of that water, and it came down upon the enemies of God. Now, do you know that chapter 15 of Exodus is a song? Look at this. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, listen. Hey. I don't know that that was the tune, okay? I don't know that that was the tune, but I'm telling you, they sang a song. Folks, let me tell you something, gang. Let me tell you something. We need to sing. We need to lift our voices. And that's what they did. They sang a song. Songs are powerful. Think about how great thou art. Think about Amazing Grace. Think about It Is Well With My Soul. You know what I go to? I think about Horatio Spafford, who lost his children, his 5 children in that ocean, and he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul. Man, that is emotional, and it's a memory that you have when you sing a song. Well, they they did that song there, and it's just very, very, very powerful. Johnny Erickson, Tata. Some of y'all know who that is. If you don't know who Johnny Erickson Tata is, you need to Google her, okay? And you need to look her up. We need to have a party at my house for all the college students and all the high schoolers. And we need to, we got a woohoo on that. And we need to get out the Apple TV and stream some things about Johnny Erickson. Johnny Erickson at age 17, she was a hockey player in high school, and she was an athlete, and she went swimming at the beach, and she swam out. She was a swimmer, and so when she swam out to this raft, she never touched the bottom because she swam so fast, but she never realized she was in shallow water. And so she dove off of this raft and cracked her neck. At age 17, she laid in the hospital, and they told her, they said, "You'll never brush your teeth again. You'll never comb your hair again. You'll never use your arms and hands again. You'll never walk again. You're going to be a paraplegic the rest of your life." She was in such depression. The story I have is that she got in the bed and she just violently started shaking her head, trying to crack more to kill herself. She was so depressed. But then she tells that she was in a ward with five other people. There was a ward of six people that were in that ward at that hospital. And one night, it was dark and all the other patients were asleep, but she couldn't sleep. And she looked up and in the doorway was a figure of someone, and it startled her. She wanted to say, "Oh," she said, "help me." She wanted to say it, but she didn't. And all of a sudden, that person got down on their hands and knees, and they crawled toward her. Well, she really got panicky then. What in the world is this person doing? And so they crawled up, and then they were right there on the bed, and she's laying on the bed, and she said their head came up. And they looked through the railings of that bed. And it was her friend, her high school friend, Jackie. And she said, "Jackie, you better get out of here. They're going to kick you out." She went, "Shh." And she put the bed railing down, and she said, like high school girls in those days used to do, she opened up the sheets, and she crawled in the bed with her. And she got a hold of her head, and she turned her ear to where she could hear her, and she said this, "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior." And then the last verse says, "When he comes, our glorious king, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior." And Johnny said, "That was a turning point in my life. That song, reminding her." That's why there's songs in the Bible, folks. That's why when he leads us, we ought to be singing our, we used to say this years ago, sing your guts out. Amen. Lift the rafters off this place. Folks, we've got a song to sing. Christ has changed our life. Hey, look. That's why he said make a joyful noise, because some of us can't carry a tune in a bucket, okay? I know that. But I want you to know we ought to sing to the highest heavens and lift up the Lord. Now, I want to show you this. Are we going to be in the battle? Look at chapter 5 in this song, in chapter 5 of Judges. In verses 8, in chapter 5, verse 18, look at that. It says, Zebulun, this is in the song, Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. They were honored in the song. Can I tell you this? They were honored in the song. You say, well, I don't know if anybody notices because I'm out here trying to do something for Christ. You know what? You don't need earthly recognition. You're getting it in heaven. Amen? Listen, you get recognized on earth, you don't get it in heaven. You may get overlooked on earth, but you'll get it in glory. And so Zebulun, look at this, Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. They were honored. But can I say this? Look back at verse 15. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent to the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of the heart. But why did you sit among the sheepfolds? They didn't come. Barak said, we're starting an army. We got to go to Mount Tabor. I need 10,000. And Reuben didn't come. Look at verse 16. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings of the flocks? The divisions of Reuben gave great searchings of heart. Verse 17, Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. They didn't cross over to come help them. And why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. His inlets. Why did they not come? Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorites in the whole world. Here's what he said about this passage. He said, the people of God today are not unlike the people of Israel. When it comes to God's call for service, some immediately volunteer and follow the Lord. Some risk their lives. Some give the call serious consideration, but say no. And others keep to themselves as though the call had never been given. A lot of things never change, folks. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. We've got a commission from Jesus. What are we going to do about it? Some will go. Some will act like there's no commission. They just sit there. How can you just sit there when, oh, what a Savior. You know? Hallelujah, what a Savior. I told you about Amy Carmichael. She started the dawn of her fellowship. She greatly influenced a lady named Elizabeth Elliott. Elizabeth Elliott, we had the privilege one time of having her in our home, and we had a teenage girl there named Amy. This teenage girl just had an idealistic vision of God using her. She just believed it enough, thinking that God could really use her in this world. Can you believe that? She did. And Elizabeth Elliott, who had been greatly influenced by Amy Carmichael of India, said to this girl, she said, if you'll go to the Donover Fellowship, me and my husband will underwrite your life's work. This girl was in high school. Well, Amy ended up going to college. She got involved with Christian ministry at Jacksonville University. She met this young man who, he was one of these dreamers too, you know, one of these guys who just thinks that Jesus Christ could use him mightily. And so they got together. I had the privilege of performing their wedding. Do you know where they are right now? India. India. Loving people for Jesus' sake. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to get on the front lines. Amen? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.